We're on the phone here with Eric Kidd, boutique manager of one of my favorite boutique watch boutiques in the world, IWC, locally here in Las Vegas at the Palazzo Hotel. Hey, Eric, what's going on there, buddy?
Hey, Ahmed, I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm really, really well, man. I have to say I'm very envious of your position because you're surrounded by IWC watches all day long.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, I'm very blessed to have boutique stock at my hands, which encompasses so many more pieces than I even knew IWC produced prior to getting involved with the boutique.
Yeah, so like let's, you know, I want to get into, you know, for those of the people who don't know, Eric runs the IWC boutique here in Las Vegas at the Palazzo Hotel. It's a very unique situation because the boutique is, you know, when you're a boutique, you kind of get, you know, boutique-only editions, which is very special because retailers don't get those pieces. And Eric has, you know, access to all of those as, you know, recognized as an official IWC boutique. So that kind of puts him in a very special position as far as collectors worldwide go, not just locally, right?
Correct, yes. And the boutique at the Palazzo Hotel, which is located at Belusso Jewelers there in the casino floor, was the first boutique concept in North America. It is considered an external boutique because it is managed and somewhat operated by the brand, but it's owned independently. And as the first and only concept in North America, we have access to all of these pieces that would normally be found as boutique exclusives. And it gives us an opportunity to bring some clients from other brands that maybe haven't had the exposure to IWC down to the boutique and see some really unique pieces. So I very much enjoy it.
Well, I'm very happy for you. You also, I'm sure, I don't know if you went this year, but I'm sure, you know, years to come, you will be privy to going to SIHH in Geneva, as well as, I'm sure, world meetings, right?
Yeah. This year, just unfortunately due to scheduling, I wasn't able to go to SIHH, but I do see it on the horizon, and I have not been to Switzerland yet. I'm fairly new in the industry, in all reality, just past my third year mark here. And I am just very much looking forward to get out there and seeing the factory and seeing how IWC produces their pieces and just what the culture is like in Switzerland. I've just heard so many great things.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're talking about a brand that's, you know, for those of you who don't know, IWC is based in Schaffhausen on the German side of Switzerland, on the bordering sort of German side of Switzerland. And, you know, when you look at an IWC watch, their watches are very straightforward, practical, very Germanic almost in the way they're made. Eric, can you want to enlighten people and let people know sort of, you know, where you're from, how you started, and how you kind of got into this wacky world of watches that we're both in?
Yeah. My uncle owned a temporary staffing agency where I'm originally from in Minnesota. So he had sent me on numerous jobs. And I tell people I've had more jobs by the time I was 21 than they'll have in their entire career. So I've sold everything, anything that you can think of. When I moved back to Las Vegas and tried to get a couple small businesses up and running, that just didn't quite work out. I just needed a job. So I went to the Strip and walked through a couple of the shops down there. And it's funny, I tell folks that I travel every day of my life. You know, every hotel is themed. Every hotel has amazing differences. So it's wonderful. So my passion for watches led me into Tourneau Watch Company, which is the largest watch retailer in the world and actually the largest watch store in the world here at Caesars Palace in Las Vegas. So the exposure to over 58 brands in one location for somebody who's really passionate and loves watches was just an amazing experience that allowed me to learn and not only learn about the industry and about how watches are produced, but to meet people who were like-minded, enjoyed watches, brand representatives and such who have had years and years of experience. And so I just took that opportunity and I ran with it. And, you know, was very successful within my first couple of years in terms of just sales because I expressed my passion. And now I've been at Belusso Jewelers for just a little over a year now as the boutique director. And again, these new experiences are just opening my eyes to how this industry works. And I just love it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I applaud you. First of all, congratulations on your career. I mean, it's, I was in retail for 30 years and I know exactly what that's like. And, you know, I'm sure by you, having a collection of 60 brands and arguably the biggest, the baddest and the best, one of the best watch stores in the world as Torno is, it probably gave you perspective globally, and it also probably allowed you to hone in on certain brands. And IWC is a very special brand. I mean, do you remember what your first really good watch was and what got you into, you know, watches specifically that you were like, I want to do this. I can see.
Yeah.
I really love this. Like,
yeah. And you know what? I want to touch on something real quick before I answer that question. When you and I met, I wanted to say, first of all, thank you for having me. I'm humbled by the fact that you would like to have me on and do part of your podcast, because when we first met and you were telling me about your years of retail experience and showed me some photographs of some of the celebrities that you've sold pieces to and the people that you've had, you know, intimate conversations with regarding timepieces, I find you to be kind of a, somebody to look up to in the industry. And so I thank you again.
Oh, that's very kind of you. That's very kind of you.
Yeah.
Most people are always looking down on me because I'm barely above 5 feet. So this is this makes me feel good. Thank you for your kind words.
Well, man,
it's my pleasure.
You make up for it in personality. That's for sure. That's
thank
for
you.
Sure.
Thank you very much.
So the funny thing is, my first exposure to what I considered luxury timepieces was I purchased what I thought was at a time. A nice Breitling watch for a few $100s. Come to find out that Breitlings don't sell for a few $100s.
No,
what I had purchased was a very good replica of a timepiece that had this little spinny thing on the dial. And somebody told me, "Hey, that's a great Tourbillon watch." And I'm thinking, "Oh yeah,
God.
It was expensive for a few $100s." And they looked at me like I was crazy. Fast forward, right now my favorite piece and the piece that I wear every day is the Aquatimer Vintage with the inner rotating bezel, and that has got to be my favorite watch within my collection. I do have a Panerai. I'm a big fan of vintage. I definitely seek out and search vintage pieces. IWC made beautiful, beautiful mechanisms. Many, many years ago, they still do, but in terms of their vintage pieces. So I do have a vintage IWC pocket watch, as well as an old vintage Portuguese piece. And
wow,
they're just great, great watches to have.
Well, that's
and,
awesome. I'd love to photograph those someday. Those are some great pieces. And for those of you who don't know, IWC started in 1868, and it's been around for a very, very long time. And you know, if you ever have a chance to see them and you're in Las Vegas, you'll be treated like a king if you go and see Eric, because he really knows. Not only does he know what he's talking about, he likes what he's doing. And when you combine the two, you get something really cool. And, that's one of the reasons, Eric, I wanted to interview you today, because, you know, first of all, you're like one of the good guys out there. Like, it's not normal. I mean, it's like, I've been in the business so long that, you know, I'm used to people talking with both sides of their mouth, but it's just a part of the business. And Eric, I have to say, is a man of his word, and he's been extremely kind to me. And it was great running into you, by the way, at your pre-JCK event that was that you guys do every year. And I was really honored that you invited me, and ran into a lot of people that I kind of grew up with in the industry my entire life. So it was definitely a blast from the past, but I'm moving on for sure. Like, that's really cool, man. Like, vintage is, you know, it's a very, very cool market, but it can also be a very, it can be scarier than a regular retail market, because I'm sure, as you're aware, these pieces are highly sought after, especially the vintage ones. And in the last 10 years, you're definitely seeing brands sort of return to their DNA and sort of revive some of these sleeping giants that, you know, are so revered amongst collectors and go for thousands and thousands. But the problem with the thing that I find with vintage, I don't think you see it as much with IWCs, but you definitely see it with vintage Rolexes, is that there's, it's hard to authenticate these pieces.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. And when you come to certain pieces within a collection, you know, just like every other brand, IWC does discontinue or quote unquote retire pieces. So with our store, for example, we do a lot of replacement strap business. Folks come in with their worn, tired, deteriorating straps, and they're looking for something new to put onto it. And I might see a piece that I've never even seen before in a catalog come through, and my first thought is, wow, you know, are you sure that this is authentic? But come to find out that it is, and, you know, that they legitimately purchased the piece and have enjoyed it for many, many years. And that's one of those things that, you know, legitimizing the watch that's on their wrist and telling them how amazing it is kind of a great thing to see in their face when you tell that to a client and tell them that they made a great purchase.
Definitely. And that's one of the things I have to say that I really enjoy about IWC is that it's a very strap-centric brand for the most part. You know, I mean, you do have bracelets and you are known for some of the bracelets you make, and they're extremely technical and well machined, especially on the Pilot's watch, like the Pilot's chronograph.
Right.
It's a piece of engineering art. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. And in fact, a lot of people may not even know that IWC does make watches on bracelets because they are so heavily focused on straps. But I have to say there's, you know, what amazes me about IWC is, you know, back in the day when Pilot's watches were made, like in the 40s and stuff, IWC, Langanzone, and Glashütte Original were like the three main. There's hundreds of brands that did it, because I know that there's distinct markings on the dials of watches that make them true Pilot's watches. But
right.
IWC is really responsible for reviving it and continuing and passing the torch, like not passing the torch, but definitely like keeping that torch ignited in the forefront of, you know, being the master of the Pilot's watch.
Yeah, and they've held to those fundamentals. You know, there's a few main characteristics that are absolutely necessary for a functional Pilot watch. Your first point being legibility. You know, a black background with white contrast numerals is a necessity for a Pilot's watch, which is
absolutely
outside of the boutique editions where they kind of get a little crazy with colors. They stick true to that. You know, anti-magnetivity is very important for a pilot while he's flying. If his instruments are putting out magnetic fields and throwing his timepiece off, you know, there's going to be an issue there while he's flying. And also, you know, anti-vibration and being able to support the fact that you are pulling G-forces in an airplane and your plane is vibrating and everything. You know, you need to have something that's durable. And I'm glad to be selling a product that has that durability, and it's tested and true.
Absolutely, and really iconic at the same time. I mean, I started wearing the Big Pilot in 2002, you know, when the Big Pilot first came onto the scene. And aside from the fact that it made a giant dent in my wrist, I honestly, it's probably one of my favorite watches of all time. You know, I mean, I don't have it anymore, but it's a watch that I definitely want to get back. And what I loved about it is that not only was it a wristwatch, it was like a frigging desk clock. And it's, you know, it's massive. It's and it's probably one of the easiest watches to set because it is so legible and it is so big.
I would challenge anybody to name a more iconic true Pilot's watch than the IWC Big Pilot.
There isn't any. I mean, I remember when I visited the Lange factory in Germany, in East Germany, and they had basically, during that time, the Big Pilot, as we know it, at that time when it was made by the three manufacturers I mentioned, IWC, Langanzone, and Glashütte Original. Now, they were all basically, they looked exactly the same, and you could never tell who made what unless you opened the movement and it was stamped with the manufacturer's, you know, logo on it, and they were all exactly the same. They had blue hands, they had the Arabic numerals, they had the triangle with the two dots, they, you know, the contrast, the anti-magnetism. I'm amazed with what IWC has done with not just the Big Pilot but the Pilot's collection as we know it today. I mean, you know, I think IWC was also one of the first companies in the world to do watches in ceramic.
Yes, yes, that's very true. In incorporating not only that, but there's a new product that they have just launched this year at SIHH, which is a case material called silicium oxide, which allows you to actually color your ceramic. So they've came out with a new pilot's piece this year with a brown ceramic. And there's other brands that have done something similar, but this is going to show the innovation of IWC, the fact that they're forward thinking when it comes to a historical piece. And touching on history, you know, for those listeners that may not know the true history of how Pilot's watches came about, and to jump back to the big Pilot here, you know, the original clocks or time pieces that Pilots flew with were around 55, 60 millimeters. And when you look at that even in inches, you're talking a 3.5 or a 4-inch diameter piece. And
right.
What they would do is not wear that on their wrist, but would strap it to their thigh. So as they're sitting in the cockpit, they would just be able to glance down and see the time.
Right.
And you look at the big Pilot watch with the you know, moniker of the big crown. That was necessary because pilots don't fly without gloves. You know, it gets
right,
cold
exactly.
At 30,000-40,000 feet, and you need to wear gloves. So in order to set your time while you're traveling, you know, to and from international datelines, you have to have something big enough to grab onto. So with the historical perception of what a pilot's timepiece was as to now what they're producing for folks to wear on a daily basis, all they did was take every single necessary element and shrink it down just enough so it's not too big on your wrist. And, you know, to tell folks that who own a big Pilot and have never been told that particular point, and you see their eyes light up like, wow, I never even thought about that, again, gives me some joy to talk about with such a great brand.
Absolutely. You don't have to be a pilot to wear an IWC big Pilot watch. Because
right.
It is scaled down from 55 millimeters to 46.2 or 0.3 millimeters, whatever the exact size is. But it's a phenomenal piece. And, you know, not just the Pilot's watch, but, you know, the Portuguese. I mean, you know, what I always have respected about IWC is how clean it is, how understated it is, how it's basically, you know, it's for that guy who may have a $5,000 titanium bicycle, and he may not want people to know what he's wearing, you know. He
right.
wears an IWC, and
right.
you know, I actually started selling IWC in the late 80s, early 90s, so I was selling IWC way before anyone ever heard of it, and I have to say it was like a brand that I always respected, because back in those days, like even the Portuguese, the movements were made by sister brand Jaeger LeCoultre. You know,
right.
So just it's amazing to see the lineage, and, you know, even the Portuguese, it was, you know, I think developed originally in 1939 by, you know, commissioned for two Portuguese settlers who wanted watches made for them. And they were basically pocket watches. And, you know, when I look at the line of the Portuguese now, the evolution of it, it's just amazing the amount of variations that have been. That have come out in the last, you know, 60, 70, 80 years.
Right, right. And, you know, what's funny is you touched on a point earlier regarding, I believe it was the brand Langensona, as well as its kind of correlation with being a German brand and IWC being on the German border. It might sound silly to say this because the brands, the collection is called the Portuguese, but I consider the Portuguese collection to be the most heavily influenced in terms of German design. And I bring up the point of Langensohn because when you look at Langensohn and Glashütte Original and Nomos and Sinn Watch Company and these great German brands, if a gentleman is walking through the hallway and I just get a glimpse of his watch, I feel like I can almost immediately discern whether it's a Swiss-made watch or a German-made watch, specifically on the design characteristics, the sleekness and the smoothness of the dial and so on. And to me, almost every single day when I'm talking about the Portuguese collection, the words that come out of my mouth are crossover. I consider the Portuguese to be a crossover collection for IWC, literally meaning you can wear it with jeans and a T-shirt or a tuxedo and everything in between. And I feel like that a little bit of a German influence in its design is one of the reasons why that collection has become, you know, the most iconic and most popular for IWC.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I mean, if you look at the brand overall, I mean, you know, I don't know of any, like, you know, they're basically, when you look at watches, you know, watch companies, they may have one signature piece out of the 20 or 30 watches they make. You guys are very different because all your collections are iconic. Like, they all served a purpose, and that's where you guys stand out from the rest. And it doesn't surprise, it amazes me what, you know, your CEO, George Kern, the worldwide CEO of IWC, has done for the brand and how he's built this brand literally brick by brick to get it to be one of the number one luxury watch brands in the world now. I mean,
yeah.
It amazes me. Like, when you go to SIHH and you see IWC's booth, it's like, why have any of the other brands even there? It's like, it's massive. It's you know, and every year the booth changes to the theme of whatever the new collection is going to be, whether they redo the Pilot's line, or this year was heavily focused, Eric, on Aqua Timer.
Correct.
I'm sure with the reinvention of the Aqua Timer and the Deep 3, right?
Correct. Deep 3, as well as bringing back, like I mentioned, the piece I wear every day is the Aqua Timer Vintage, which had an inner rotating bezel. And this year, the implementation of what's called the Safe Dive system allows you to actually grab onto the external bezel and twist it, but the inner rotating bezel is what's actually turning inside the watch. There's a clutch system which allows you, just like any other dive watch, where if you turn it clockwise, that bezel is not going to move, but counterclockwise it's going to move. With the new Safe Dive system for the Aqua Timer collection, if you turn that bezel clockwise, nothing happens. It's just the bezel spins. But when you turn it counterclockwise is when you're actually moving the inner rotating bezel. It's just
that's a really
great innovation.
That's really, really cool. There's a lot of technical innovation behind IWC. Even though it is simplistic, it's extremely technical. And, you know, I did a podcast interview maybe a year ago with a friend of mine who had one of the original IWC Porsche design watches. And
oh, wow.
And when you look at those, I mean, that's the time that I used to sell IWC. And when you look at it then, I mean, imagine, like, at that time, late 80s, early 90s, nobody was using titanium, and IWC was using titanium. And
credit Porsche, you know, designed for helping IWC with that and having them be the first implementation of titanium on a timepiece. And you know, now they still do it. Basically only in the Ingenieur collection, but that was, you know, one of the more iconic collections for IWC back in, you know, the 40 years ago, 50 years ago. So, yeah, great partnerships. That's another point, too, to touch on here maybe in a minute, is the partnerships of IWC and what they choose to, you know, who they choose to partner with and how they choose to make those partnerships advantageous, as well as gain exposure around the world for both.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely. One of the things that I love is, you know, you guys do the Laureus collection, right?
Correct. The Laureus Sport for Good Foundation, which is an international foundation that provides sporting goods and equipment and activities for children around the world. And the Laureus Foundation incorporates, you know, champions in their respective fields. Whether it's, you know, professional soccer players or tennis players or football players or whoever it may be. And they travel around the world and they just go and get these kids excited about sport. And each year, IWC picks one of their collections and they take one watch from the collection and they create the Laureus Edition, which is always limited. And currently, oddly enough, or uniquely enough, the Laureus Edition piece is the only, and I might be mistaken here, but is the only piece that they currently individually number. IWC, with any of their limited editions, has now gone to marking it as one of ONE of X amount of pieces. But the Laureus edition is your great opportunity to actually get an individually numbered piece. And they do that iconic blue dial. And what's really great, and again, is a heartwarming kind of a concept is that the children that are involved in this Laureus Foundation, they do an art competition. And the winning piece of art from one of these children is then transferred into a stencil and engraved on the case back of the watch.
How amazing is that?
Yeah, it's really, really beautiful. They do a great job of making it true to life to what the original concept from that child, what was going through their mind when they drew that picture. And then in your special edition box, you actually get a photograph of the child and the story behind the child and the, a copy of the, not the original artwork, but a photograph of the original artwork so you can see how that transfer has happened. It's just amazing. Just wonderful.
It is amazing because it's a beautiful partnership and it's a great thing for humanity and it brings people together. I mean, you know, I think that you call him a friend of the brand or whatever is Kevin Spacey.
Right.
At the Oscars this year, he was wearing a Laureus edition, I believe, Yacht Club.
Right.
Portuguese Yacht Club to match his midnight blue tuxedo that he was wearing. And
right.
he's been an amazing ambassador and friend of the brand. You know, and I'm sure people, you know, I know that with his show as well that he has on Netflix, you know, I know that same watch is the watch he wears on the show.
Right.
That must be an amazing partnership to have because obviously he's, you know, one of the greatest actors around. And he loves the brand. I mean, I remember when I was in retail selling the brand, and I went to Geneva and I saw him performing on stage and just the way he was interacting with Mr. Kern and the way he loves the brand and talks about the brand on camera, off camera. You can tell he's not someone who's just doing it for endorsement purposes, but he really, really likes the brand.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, you know, wardrobe designers are typically the folks who choose the watches and choose the suits that these actors wear in these shows. But Kevin is wearing pieces from his personal collection, you know. And that's a big nod to IWC. And it's have, you know, one of the most famous actors in the world that actually chooses to wear your brand as opposed to maybe what one of these casting directors or wardrobe directors might have wanted you to wear.
That's a huge coup for you guys. And on top of that, I think at least, I mean, because I've been out of watch retail for 7 years or 8 years almost. I mean, even before I left retail, I used to see him at least for 1 or 2 years or maybe more in Geneva, you know, for SIHH. So not only is he wearing these things, you know, from his personal collection and wearing things that, you know, have a special meaning like the Laureus edition, which is so impactful, but he's also supporting the brand globally when he, you know, I'm sure he, you know, whatever agreement he has with the brand he has, but he really supports the brand. And that's a testament to George Kern and that's a testament to IWC and it's a testament to, you know, Kevin Spacey. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And,
absolutely.
And, you know, on top of that, Eric, I know the other partnerships, you know, it's just amazing for me to see the evolution of the brand because, again, I was selling it when there was only 3 or 4 pieces in the case. And now I'm seeing, you know, the Tribeca Film Festival, for instance, that happens every year in Tribeca,
right,
in New York.
We're looking at, you know, probably 6 different or more partnerships to speak of, and the Tribeca Film Festival, which was, you know, launched basically in the beginning or middle of 2002, after 9/11 happened, in order to help revive the whole community down there in the Tribeca area, which is so close to where the World Trade Centers were, you know, they wanted to partner up with this great foundation, the Film Festival Foundation. And have been doing the Tribeca Film Festival piece now for a couple of years. They signed their second partnership this year. Finding, you know, great causes is what IWC is about. Outside of the Laureus, which we've spoke of, and the Tribeca, You know, you have the Charles Darwin Foundation. You have the Cousteau Society. You have the Antoine de Saint-Exupéry.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Right. You have the which was one of my favorite watches from the collection. Once you hear the story, is the Edition Plastique, which was in the Ingenieur collection, about the gentleman who built a sailboat out of recycled 2-liter plastic bottles and sailed it from San Francisco through the Galapagos Islands and into Sydney, Australia, an 8,000 nautical mile journey to raise awareness for the something like 2 million pounds of plastic bottles that are floating in the ocean. So to grab on to partnerships with foundations that are truly making a difference, you know, brings a lot of respect to my heart for IWC, definitely. And as you've touched on George Kern, you know, he's been very instrumental, fundamental in getting these partnerships to go through and be a part of IWC's DNA. And IWC uses that word, that symbolism pretty regularly, the DNA of IWC. And, you know, they're a sustainable company. They're a green company. They were one of the first companies in all of the watchmaking world to use hydroelectricity. When F.A. Jones moved his company to the Rhine River there, which basically separates Germany from Switzerland. And to perpetuate what the founder, Florentino Risto Jones, really had as a concept, George Kearns is doing a great job at that. Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, he's basically, you know, he's been passed the torch from F.A. Jones, basically. He's like a modern-day F.A. Jones. And,
exactly.
And what he's, the way he's been able to implement it with class and sophistication, with and making more and more models and revitalizing all of the iconic families within the brand and still keeping the integrity of the brand and paying homage to it, you know, it's really amazing. I mean, listen, a lot of collectors, some would say, you know, IWC has really evolved so much that sometimes you can't even recognize the DNA. I mean, you know, I mean, I see it. I can definitely tell you from the time I sold it to now. I mean, I'm definitely a good judge of character for IWC because I've been selling it for so long. But, you know, I think it's one of those brands that, you know, listen, people don't always want the same thing. And if you make the same thing all the time, people are going to get sick of it. And they want something new and they want something fresh and they want innovation. And, you know, I've seen IWC go all over the place. But I think where they are right now, where the brand sits right now, I think they're in a very good place. And I think they have continuity.
That's a great thing is you can, you know, you can mark it down on paper as far as what IWC has done for the watch industry and for the watch community, the buyers, and so on. And IWC, in my opinion, is one of the most interactive brands that's out there. You know, they have – I would just tell all of your listeners to go and check out IWC.com and just take a look at some of the things that they allow you to do through their website. Most particularly, if you hit the button there, which says – I believe it says experiences on the website, and check out the Globetrotter series, you know, you can – play along with some influential people in this world who are, you know, friends of the brand or just very much hold IWC true to their heart.
Yeah, you've got like people like, I was just going to say Carmelo Anthony, right? You just
Exactly. For the United States market, you know, outside of Kevin Spacey, you know, Carmelo Anthony is probably one of the most, I don't know, in the spotlight, I guess, in terms of really coming out and talking about how much he enjoys IWC. And, you know, has been photographed many times just out and about, wearing his big pilots. He owns the big pilot Muhammad Ali, which is by far my favorite piece that IWC has ever produced. But, you know, a lot of the different collections, a lot of the different watches are, you know, part of what these influential people, wear every day. And, you know, some folks that in this Globetrotter series, you know, you're talking about New York and Beijing and some of the movers and shakers, and it tells you a little bit about what they do. Also throughout, there's a collector's forum through the website where you don't even have to, you know, there's no payment, anything like that. You just register yourself, you sign up, and based on how often you post through the collector's forum, you actually advance in rank. You know, how interactive is that? How forward thinking is that?
It's absolutely wonderful. I mean, I gave you the IWC website, best website for 2013. I mean,
yes, you did.
It definitely, believe me. You know, and it's funny when I look at the hits on my website. You know, I focus on 4 or 5 major brands, and IWC is basically one of them. And I think you know that just based on the amount of writing I do on the brand and how much I love the brand. And I mean, it's one of the easiest websites to navigate around as well. I mean, that, you know, it's a lot like their watches. It's very intuitive, but it's very simple to navigate. And I think that's the key behind IWC. It's not, yes, it's complicated. Yes, it's technical, but it's easy to use, you know, and that's the whole point. It's like, you know, a lot of these brands, you need a PhD to be able to figure out how these things work. And it's really annoying because,
yeah,
the thing I like about IWC is it breaks it down very simply in a very simple way. And, you know, I think IWC it's very interesting what's going to unfold for them. Do they offer factory tours, by the way, like for those who, you know, want to maybe purchase a watch, or, you know, they've just purchased their watch and they're like, you know, I'm feeling kind of, I really am feeling really nostalgic about this whole experience. I want to go and really, you know, like witness and experience how these things are put together. Does IWC, do they, you know, support that? Do they encourage it? Is there a way to organize those things? Or
great question. That's a good point. IWC absolutely is all about bringing folks into the factory and showing them how they're produced. You know, as one of the, you know, 20-some manufacturers out of the 400 and some watch companies in the world, I feel like IWC is very much willing to show folks they have. And, you know, it's funny in the Las Vegas market, I'm really blessed and grateful to be here and have this opportunity to be in literally the largest, hotel casino resort property in the world, with the Venetian Palazzo, and having these travelers from all over the world, and especially from Schaffhausen, you know, they're walking through and they see this big sign and this big awning out front of our store, and they stand there for a second, they look at it, and they kind of hesitate for a minute. We invite them in, they come in and they say, I'm from Schaffhausen and I've done the factory tour. I feel like almost every single person that I've spoken with that's from that region has visited the factory, whether they were wearing an IWC watch or not. So unlike some companies that, you know, you have to be a serious client, you have to own multiple pieces, you know, maybe spend a certain dollar amount to be entitled that factory visit, I feel like IWC has kind of opened the doors for the world to say, come on in and check us out.
Listen, at the end of the day, these things aren't cheap. You know, IWC, right. I remember when you could buy an IWC Pilot's Chronograph for like $3,000. The IWC Pilot's Chronograph today is $5,900, you know?
Yeah.
But one of the things that another thing that I think we need to touch upon is that IWC really is a true in-house manufacturer. You know, they make every single part, if I'm not mistaken, like in-house.
The only pieces that they don't do fully in-house are the models that they need to, you know, keep the cost down on and offer a nice entry-level piece. You know, the price points basically start at $4,500 for a Portofino automatic, which is a beautiful watch. And to do, you know, to incorporate R&D and the production capacity, you know, you just would plain have to charge more for that, which would then put IWC into this different category. And I feel like they want to maintain a category where anybody, you know, can get into an IWC and feel that ownership for the brand. So they do have a few of the mechanisms which are modified, but they're modified heavily. You know, nothing.
Well, that's the thing I was just going to say, is that you're not getting a Valjoux 7750 with, you know, a decorated rotor. You're getting basically IWC uses the base plate and then they build on it. It's really
exactly.
It's as close to an in-house as you're going to get.
Exactly.
And that to me says a lot about the brand. because you just see these other brands that call themselves so-called in-house manufacturers, and they're not. They're charging, you know, 20 grand for a stainless steel watch that's got a 7750 in it. You know?
Right, exactly. And a lot of folks come in and they ask that question, you know, what is the price range of IWC? And that's a very hard question to answer, because they start at $4,500 and they go up to $1 million U.S. for the Sidriel Scafuccia. So, you know, they really capture every segment of the market with the six different families in the collection. You know, you have a true dress watch in the Portofino collection. You have a great crossover watch in the Portuguese, and you have a true sports watch in the Pilot or the Aquatimer or the Ingenieur. And, you know, they just really have something for everybody. No matter what you're looking for, you can find it with IWC.
It's a little bit more special for me, I think, than most, because, you know, the founder, F.A. Jones, who founded IWC, was originally from Boston. That's where I'm from. And,
yeah.
You know, being a Boston boy and growing up selling IWC watches, if I think about it now, it's kind of really surreal, you know. And moving full circle now in 2014, now I'm in Vegas and I have access to these brands. I'm more of a journalist. I also concierge watches for my clients at the Mandarin Oriental and all over the world. But it's like, you know, it's just, it's very surreal to see the success IWC has had, because I know that they were one of these brands that nobody ever could even, I mean, no one knew about it. Like no one, they were like, what's that? You know?
yeah.
And now, and
I, you know, you've been selling watches on it as long as I've been alive. And, you know, that's one thing maybe I didn't touch on is that, you know, not only am I young in the industry, but I feel like I'm, you know, still fairly young in general. And so I always take the opportunity to learn from many folks and the people, friends and you know, colleagues in the industry. And you have yourself taught me a few things about IWC that I didn't even know. So you're doing a great service to the public. Let me tell you this, by doing these podcasts and you know, your concierge business and everything, you're doing a great service to the public.
You're very kind. I appreciate that. And you're helping me provide the service because I can't do it alone. And, you know, in life, you need friends and you need colleagues to help you out. And you've certainly been extremely supportive. So thank you for that.
Well, there you have it, folks. That was my one-on-one interview with friend and boutique director of the IWC Boutique here in Las Vegas, Eric Kidd. I want to thank Eric for his time and for shedding some light about IWC, the boutique, his experience in the watch industry, and much, much more. So thank you, Eric. I'd also like to thank Shalvoy Music and DJ Flipside for providing the musical tracks to this podcast. If you want to know what's going on with me and the watch industry, you can log on to my website at www.amitdavehonda.com. You can also check my Instagram, my Twitter, and my Facebook. And until we meet again, rock on and fly back.